Hey folks, I never enjoy doing these in memoriam episodes. If you're involved in the local music scene in Winnipeg in any way, you're probably familiar with the tragedy that happened on Canada Day, in which we lost Brendan Berg of the band Royal Canoe, and his partner Olivia Michalchuk, who was the co-host of the Paper Cut podcast. And it's very tragic. I knew Brendan a little bit over the years. He was always seemed like the nicest guy in the room, obviously an incredibly talented musician with Royal Canoe and many other projects over the years. And it's especially sad that both he and Olivia were killed in the accident. I didn't know her super well, but the local podcasting community is a small one. And at our first ever Manitoba Podcast Festival, Olivia was actually on a panel and participated in the event. So it's a very sad loss of two people who are clearly very well loved in Winnipeg's arts community. And Brendan was on my show about a decade ago talking about Royal Canoe. And so I'm reissuing this episode just as an opportunity for those who haven't heard it or maybe want to hear his voice again. And that's really the reason that I do these. I've had some good feedback from folks who knew the person being remembered on some of the past in memoriam episodes I've done, and they've said they appreciate the chance to hear that person speaking again and to hear them talking about, obviously, something that's very important to them, like their art. So this is a reissued episode. Like many of the old episodes from 2013-14, it's a different format from the show you're used to if you listen today. So there are song selections by each of the guests and by the hosts. There were two hosts at this point, which is also different. But I've cut those out, edited them down, as I always do when I reissue old episodes. So I hope you enjoy this. I know there's a number of events in memory of Brendan and Olivia happening in the next few days. I will link to the public ones in the show notes. So if you're hearing this at the time it comes out, that might give you an opportunity to pay respects or, you know, do what you need to do to remember them. And yeah, again, it always sucks making these episodes, but at the very least, we got this recorded many years ago, and you could hear Brendan's voice once again if you were someone who knew him and misses him.
Hello, and welcome to Witch Police Radio.
This is episode number 94.
This week, we're joined by Derek and Brendan, two members of the critically acclaimed local band Royal Canoe.
Yeah, they're about to head out on tour, so definitely check out their website and listen to the show to hear some of those details.
Yeah, our generated random theme word for this week is finger.
So all the songs that are selected kind of relate to that theme in one way or another.
And you can go to witchpolice.com to check out any of our past episodes and find links to our social media stuff.
We're also on the actual radio Monday nights at 11 o'clock on 101.5 UMFM in Winnipeg or umfm.com if you're not here.
At some point during the show, we talk about Royal Canoe video for the song Exodus of the Year. So we're going to open up with a song,
Exodus of the Year.
Here we go.
Calling. dust of the year. It's just me and you. It dim until I'm straining ourselves to hear those three stupid words I haven't said.
Keeping it family friendly, you're here with Witch Police Radio.
Yeah, I'm your regular host, Sam.
This is regular host, John. And this week, we're joined by two guests. We've got Derek and Brendan from the band Royal Canoe.
Good evening.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
me. Good to see you guys.
Yeah. You guys are arguably, you know, Winnipeg's most, I don't know, you've got a good thing going these days with the Royal Canoe. And we're recording this, you know, we'll get into... all sorts of things about the band, but you're about to go on a tour.
Yes.
Yeah, we're... Starting two weeks from tomorrow, which is probably right around when...
The time is to come out, it'll be right around that time,
yeah. So, yeah, right now.
where are you guys headed this time?
This all is over, like a actually. North American, pretty full-out North American run, starting going like Western Canada and the west coast of the U.S., and then kind of cutting across the middle and... Ontario and Quebec and northeastern U.S. and Midwest U.S. and then for about 6 weeks.
Yeah, kind of the last hurrah for the Today We're Believers record before we just fully get
hibernate
snowed in and
make a new record,
on the new one.
Cool. Derek and I were talking before we started about touring. I mean, there's a lot of you. You guys have a lot of stuff.
Yes,
but it seems like you're making it work.
Yeah. Yeah, amazingly enough, I mean, I think we were all pretty surprised, very, very pleasantly surprised the first time we went on the road 3.5 years ago, the first time we went down to South by Southwest, surprised by just like how easy it was for all of us to be in close quarters like that. We hardly knew each other at that point, and already, you know, it was pretty obvious that, you know, we were all in it for the right reasons and for similar reasons, and we just, yeah, we got along. And, you know, knock on wood, after, you know, probably about close to a year and a half of total touring time together in the van, we've never had a serious fight.
Wow.
So,
yeah. That's good alliteration to a total touring
band. Yeah. I like that. Unintentional.
Yeah. And I mean, some of you guys have been in bands before. I mean, you guys have played music together for a long time, right?
About coming up right around like 13 years probably.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
So what was the first
The Maidest Touch.
I was thinking about this on the way here. I'm like, I don't know how many questions I can fit in about the Maidest Touch.
and Mike Witcher, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
John said he tried texting Jesse.
I put the word out. I don't know.
Jesse's been on the show a few times though, so I mean it would have been nice to have him here. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. So I mean, how does that, you know, I mean, it's been a few bands, right? Because you were that band, and then what was next? Was it Telly next?
Telly was the next.
And then we've done, like, in between those bands, we've done, like, a ton of, like, one-off, like, kind of gigs in, like, all, I don't know, so many different situations, like hip-hop stuff, jazz trios, an Israeli dance group.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So, like, then
we both played quite a bit and toured a bit with JP Ho as well.
Okay.
It's always a treat when we get to, when our schedules
we still
line
do
up
when
we
it,
get to still go play
can,
with him.
Yeah.
So what is it about the two of you playing together, like a rhythm section? Like, what does it work? What, I mean?
Rhythm, like drums and bass, you're kind of, you're like a married couple, you know?
Right,
you're musically married, and and it's been so long for us, and that, I don't know, we kind of, we know how each other plays, and
right,
yeah,
and we spent so much time together, so
yeah, you know, on stage and off stage, we just, you know,
yeah,
we,
there we are,
we groove together.
Cool.
Yeah.
And here we are now.
Yeah. Just do it again. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I kind of want to get into how, like, the band got started and all that, but maybe we should get into a song.
Yeah.
We like to listen to music here on the show.
If you have, someone's listening and they haven't heard the show before, the way it works is we have a randomly generated theme word, and that kind of dictates the structure of the episode. So this week the word is
finger,
which I think is a pretty good one. We've had other body parts in the past, but finger's pretty good. I think we actually had one of those hands, didn't we?
I think we did, yeah.
Yeah, that was with the guy from 5440, the hands one.
All right.
That's pretty good.
Pardon the interruption. Maybe you've explained this on air before, but I haven't heard it. How do you randomly generate the theme word?
Go on the internet, press a button, it gives us a word.
And oh, okay.
That is the word. So
there's a random word generator.
Yeah, there's a
page.
Bunch of them.
Okay.
I've found some of them generate words that are entirely medical terms,
okay.
And that one's pretty much impossible.
Yeah.
So I found a couple of them that are actually going to give you generic, like, usually nouns, but, you know, it gives you a word, and and it works well because, I mean, we could all just play songs we like, but that's going to get a bit repetitive, especially with, you know, me and John every week playing the same kind of stuff. And
I mean, you still manage to play reggae almost every week.
I do. And, you know, it's been months since I have, though, actually. I've been trying, not tonight, but I've been trying to not do it. But. So anyway, so we're going to, the four of us here are going to choose songs that relate to the finger theme in any way we can make the connection. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be literal, just however you can fit the song with the word.
Very open to interpretation. So do you guys want to start us off with something?
Yeah, one of you maybe want to...
Sure. Yeah, well, I'd say let's just start weird.
Yeah.
That's always good,
With one of my favorite bands of the last number of years, and a definite, in some ways, a definite inspiration for Royal Canoe. Ween, their song, I Can't Put My Finger on It.
Cool.
Easy to love, those. All right, getting weird with some Ween.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to start the show, I think, yeah.
Yeah, those guys are pretty interesting. I've played them maybe once on the show. I played Spinal Meningitis.
Oh, you did, yeah, in the Diseases episode.
Oh, especially.
Yeah. Perfect.
The Diseases.
That was actually one of the first episodes.
It troubled everyone in the room.
Yeah, it was really disturbing.
It's a difficult song, yeah. If you don't... Not that I know that much about the band, but if you don't know anything about them, it would be
off-putting.
Very
right?
terrifying
yeah.
song.
Yeah,
for sure, yeah.
Yeah, and you were saying you really like they have a country album? Or,
yes.
I've never heard that one.
It's called 12 Golden Country Greats.
Mm-hmm.
From my understanding, they somehow, as weird as they are, wound up with this big multi-record, major label record deal. And so a number of albums into their deal, they have a budget to make records, you know, as big as any of the rock bands in America at the time.
That's awesome.
And so, maybe one night on an acid trip or something, like, let's make a country record.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went to Nashville and hired all of the best producers and session players and recorded an album of country songs, but
kind of wacky.
But Ween country songs.
Yeah.
They're hilarious. But they're perfect. Like, the mood is perfect for a country record, and it's so funny, so listenable. It's one of my favorites.
Cool.
And so that spirit of weirdness is a definite inspiration for us in Royal Canoe.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have expected Ween as a person, but I mean, it's kind of a neat to hear that. So you guys, like, you know, we were talking before about you've been in a lot of bands together over the years, kind of. It seems like each one of those bands has progressively become more successful, which I think is probably the way you want to do it.
I mean, yeah.
It's working, but, like... Did you guys expect, I mean, this band that you're in now, Royal Canoe, seems like it's like, I mean, I'm reading about you guys everywhere on the internet and magazines, it's great, but did you expect that this was going to happen? I mean, did you have any way of preparing for the kind of, like, explosion that you guys have had, or?
No, I don't think we, I don't know, like, going into it, I don't think we necessarily thought too much about, you know, how, plotted it out ahead of time, but I don't know, yeah, I don't think any of us, there wasn't, like, necessarily a lot of expectation for this kind of thing, but then also there's not like a, I don't think we quite view it you know, in that same light, you know, we still,
right, because you're doing it every day.
Well, yeah, and we have a lot of things that we still want to do and accomplish, and, you know, now we're kind of starting to already shift focus to making the next record, which we're going to do over the winter, so, you know, that we kind of just keep looking looking further down the road, and yeah, there's a lot more that we would like to accomplish, and we have a lot more goals and, you know, places we'd like to reach, so.
Mm-hmm. You guys have been together, is it about 5 years or so?
The first Royal Canoe shows were about 5 years ago, but the lineup changed a bit over the first year and a half or so. I've been in the band for about 4 years now, almost exactly 4 years now.
Okay.
And yeah, so this prior to my joining the band, there were a few kind of lineup
couple little
changes.
Yeah. But as far as the band is now, it's been 4 years.
Okay.
And even like the record, the record that came out a few years ago, that was like no one in the band who's currently in the band except for Matt Peters had anything to do with that record. That was like something he had done on the side.
It sounded like a recording project almost or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that how it worked out? Like, I mean, did he kind of just add a band to the recording project? And then
That's how it started out. I think he had been writing those songs kind of throughout those last years that the Waking Eyes had been working together, you know, when they were had time off or when they were, you know, waiting for albums to come out or something. They would, you know, he would write a song with a friend or on his own, and that first record came together that way. Just a collaborative record with all sorts of other friends and musicians from the city. And then once that was finished, and when the Waking Eyes took their first hiatus after holding on to Whatever It Is, he decided to put a band together to play that record live. And so that's kind of where Royal Canoe as a band got started.
Hmm. Has it changed since then in terms of like the way that the songs are created and the way that people contributing to different parts of the writing?
Yeah, because for that one, I mean,
That was obviously his
Brendan stuff, said right? That was like, you know, him writing it with friends. But then as we started, like as everyone that's currently in the band, like as this lineup kind of solidified, the writing process became pretty collaborative and still is.
Cool.
Nice. So going into like recording, are people bringing ideas, or do you get a chance to work with some of this stuff out in advance? Like, I guess you have to, you know, put all the material together, but
well, and our way of writing is by recording, not necessarily the finished record, but we don't rarely, almost never will all six of us be like in the room writing, like jamming and being like, okay, we're gonna write a song now. That never happens. It's always like piece by piece. You know, one person has an idea, then someone and records it, and then someone else comes in and you know, plugs into the hard drive and fires up all the gear and then adds to that. Or
So very much collaborative. And like
Definitely.
I'm finished here. See what you can do with this.
And the way the songs are written, it's not like the traditional linear songwriting where you start with a verse and move to the chorus and, you know, A-B-A-B bridge out. We normally there will be an idea, whether it's, you know, whether it's a drum beat or a piano line or a lyric, and that will kind of spawn a moment, sort of a musical moment, kind of one part of a song, and that will usually get fleshed out completely. So, you know, a session, like a song session with, you know, 40-something, 50-something tracks on it, that's maybe 30 seconds long. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then from there, that will kind of decide the tone of the song and the theme of the song, and from there on it will push, you know, forward or back and kind of develop from there. So, yeah, it's been a really interesting way of working.
Nice.
It's never the same twice for any of the songs. So.
Is this the first band you've been in that writes in that style too?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
To this degree, I think, like in other bands that we've been in, you know, you get like a bit of, we've had like a bit of input here and there, but usually there's like one or two principal songwriters. So this is, and I think for all of us in the band, all of our previous experiences have been more like that, which it seems to be more of a conventional, typical way of doing it. But and so all of us have been, it's pretty refreshing to everyone gets to participate, and you know, it's almost like encouraged or demanded that you like, you know,
that's great.
Come,
yeah,
like we're making music. Yeah. Like, get down here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you see all songs written by Royal Canoe, you know, if you guys knew that, you know, one or two people were actually doing all the songs, it would seem kind of weird, but this seems pretty legit. Like you're all in on it.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's throw to another track. I'll let you guys pick another one because you have a a few to go.
Give it a go.
What should we do here? Okay, speaking, well, songwriting, I think one of the, this next song is by, I think, one of the greatest songwriters of all time and an amazing musician, Lindsey Buckingham and Fleetwood Mac. And there's a song of theirs called Big Love. And there's like a studio version, but the live versions are just him on his own. And his guitar playing and finger picking in that song are pretty remarkable. And it's just a great song.
All right, back with Witch Police Radio, and we've got Brendan and Derek from Royal Canoe with us. That was some, well, Fleetwood Mac, but
yeah,
a solo effort. Nice one. You were saying while we were listening to it that there was a Royal Canoe bonding over Fleetwood Mac on
the,
tour.
That first big road trip that we took with the band, it was actually kind of funny. We ended up both the Liptonians and Royal Canoe were going down to play at South by Southwest at the same time. And the Liptonians had been on a tour prior to this, so Matt Peters and Derek and I rented a van.
For the record, half of Royal Canoe is in the Liptonians.
Right.
Yes, right, for those who don't know. and so Matt Peters and Derek and I rented a van from here and drove out to Toronto to meet them for the first shows of that tour. And then for the rest of the tour, it was a two-van, two-band tour where, you know, half of each band's members were shared.
Okay.
And so we learned a lot about each other on that trip. You know, we'd never, well, I mean, Derek had been touring a bit with Matt and Bucky already, but, that was my first time traveling with any of them. And, you know, we learned some things about each other, like who does or doesn't like hot sauce with their breakfast.
Right.
And I remember on the way back up from Texas, driving a moment where we're driving up through South Dakota with the sort of cliffs on the east side of us, and just listening to, I think, all of Fleetwood Mac Rumors and Derek throwing this one down. It was the first time I'd heard it at that point too.
Yeah, it's great.
yeah,
I was gonna say another quick little funny story about Royal Canoe and the Liptonians is a few years ago the bands toured together, and all of the Liptonians members who weren't in Royal Canoe could not do the tour. So that left the members of Royal Canoe filling in.
So you're doing
so you were doing two shows.
So
two,
yeah. It was the same band. So the Liptonians would set up. And it was the same people. The only thing that changed was a couple of different instruments and who was singing lead vocals in the name.
Yeah.
And then, you know, do a couple keyboard swaps and boom.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, we need banners or something, it sounds like. Yeah, so at this point, so there's six of you in the band, right?
Yeah.
And at this point, you know, you're kind of, Derek was alluding, there's, you know, bigger and better goals on the way, but you're doing quite well. You've had a good amount of success, and
yeah, we're all thrilled with how everything's been going.
Yeah, and it seems like at this point, okay, of course the band is like a major focus, but starting out when, you know, there wasn't like the whole all this happening, for six people to be on like the same page seems really difficult. And trying to go on a tour, like a book a first tour, has it been a smooth process? Has it been all right? Or is it, I mean, it sounds like...
Well, I wasn't there for the first few tours. Derek would be able to speak to those a little better.
It's been a pretty natural progression. Like, the first couple tours were, yeah, definitely, like, grinding it out and, like, you know, doing it all ourselves.
Yeah.
Booking all the rooms and struggling to get a hold of the booking people for the clubs. And, you know, it's always a hassle trying to get paid and do all that kind of stuff. And then on top of that, a new band, you're not really drawing big crowds, so you put in a lot of work and you drive a lot of miles to get there to play some lousy bar where no one's at.
Yeah.
And But we did that for a while and just kind of like kept at it and kept growing and noticed that crowds were growing a bit as well, and our team started growing, and now we have quite a lot of support from people who are helping us out, and it's been really good in that way.
Nice.
I think Winnipeg has really, really been essential to that. You know, all the work that we've done separately in our other bands,
yes.
You know, in the Waking Eyes, the Liptonians, Telly, and you know, I think there's never been a shortage of support in Winnipeg. I remember going to some of those first Royal Canoe shows before I was a part of it, and you know, the response was always great. And you know, I think that's a big part of what kept everybody going in those first couple of years and kept it exciting.
Oh yeah, and like last year, didn't you guys have your van broken into or something?
Yeah.
What happened with that?
In November.
At the end of the touring year.
It was the end of about 3 solid months of touring.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all done shows. We played our final show of the tour on a Sunday night in Toronto. And then on Monday morning, we were going to start the drive home through the U.S.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were going to stop in Chicago that for the night. And then Tuesday, we would be home. And we got Chicago at night, and our sound tech at the time was from Chicago, so he wanted to take us out to his favorite cocktail bar in town, just to like celebrate the end of a crazy 3-month tour. And we went there, and the bar was amazing. Everyone was having a good time. We parked. It was in a a fine neighborhood. It was. Everything was good. We were having a great night, great time, celebrating. It was all good. And then we came outside.
Yeah, the door had been popped open.
Oh, they...
Yeah, they popped the lock out of the side door.
They just
door.
Popped the lock, like probably with like a screwdriver into the keyhole. And
everything gone? Or just the...
Computer bags.
They grabbed.
It really could have been way, way, way worse. Yeah. They didn't, you know, they could have stolen the van and all the gear.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they grabbed 4 laptop bags, so 4 computers. Those bags also had 3 of the 4 of them had passports in them.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Keys, iPods.
Yeah, yeah, all the important
books,
stuff.
Yeah.
Way to bring up like bad stuff, John.
Well, no, but what happened?
There's a happy ending.
Yeah, I know.
So I mean, yeah, that was a huge bummer. Obviously, that night and the next morning were awful.
Yeah,
but before we left the hotel the next day. We had to go to the police station first thing the next day. So before we left the hotel, we started up an Indiegogo. Indiegogo?
Right.
One of those.
But we didn't post it. We just kind of set it up and like, you know, registered or signed up and, you know, made our, figured out a plan of what we were going to do. And then throughout the drive, when we left Chicago, we were going to head for home. And throughout that, we, kind of set everything up.
Yeah, in the morning we decided what the sort of
what
incentives
we were gonna do,
would
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
Kind of plotted it all out, and then in the evening at some point we pulled over probably into like a McDonald's parking lot to use their free Wi-Fi.
And took a picture in the parking lot of everybody without turn pockets and a sign saying help please.
Yeah.
And then launched the site. And then...
And by the time we were like most of the way home... It had, it was like we had made it to like 3/4 of the way, I think.
Wow. Yeah, like
to
by the
our goal to
but
to replace
so when
those
we got
computers.
Home, when we woke up the next morning, we were 90% of the way.
That's awesome. That's amazing.
And then it went even above and beyond what we were looking for
within the first day.
That's
within the first 24 hours, and that was these are people we had people from all corners of North America, people that had seen us in Europe. People who hadn't seen
all
us,
over,
who just,
were
interested
wanted to help
and wanted
like
to
your
support.
Record,
yeah,
yeah.
And, people helping with $5 here, $10
great.
There. There were a couple of very, very, very generous donations.
Yeah.
One of which, they have several categories that you can set up. And so the biggest one, we said that, if anybody is generous enough to donate this much, Royal Canoe will, we'll throw a dinner party for you. We'll all come together and cook dinner, and we'll just have a really nice night of food and cocktails. And
so that actually happened. Or?
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
it was a Winnipeg person that donated, and
makes it easier for you guys, I guess. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we did this really fancy, 5-course dinner, and
nice.
For 10 people, it was a great night.
That's yeah. nice. Cool. Well, yeah, it's great when that works out for everyone and it turns into this really nice thing.
Yeah. yeah.
Good cool. way to interact with people who like your music too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's probably yeah. pretty unique for them too, you know, like... Mm-hmm. I would like to see one of my favorite bands like at a dinner party. You know?
yeah, yeah, cool.
have them
yeah.
cook
yeah.
for you.
Yeah,
for
yeah. Sure, yeah,
and for anybody else who had donated, we were we were sending out autographed copies of the record,
oh, yeah.
And, burned CDs of some like demos and unreleased stuff that no one else has really heard.
Yeah.
And so it seemed like even the people that had donated a little bit were all so happy to help
yeah.
and so happy to have those extra little trinkets, perks, yeah. those little bits of memorabilia.
Yeah,
which is, it's funny to think that we are at that point now that people are...
people want the memorabilia.
Want yeah, that, yeah. yeah.
That's great. I'm glad. Yeah, okay, well, maybe it wasn't a bad story then.
No, so, it worked out pretty well, yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Sam, you want to throw it
yeah, yeah, I'm going to play a song by the band Skinner Box. They were around in their early 90s in New York. We actually had Dave Hilliard from the Slackers on a few weeks ago. And he was not in this band, but he was kind of associated with the Slackers were part of that whole group of bands, Stubborn All-Stars, a lot of those kind of early 90s ska bands from New York. And the song is called Next Finger, and it's King Django, who is the vocalist in Skinner Box, and he actually has a Winnipeg connection in that in the, I guess it was late 90s, early 2000s, one of his records got put out by Bacteria Buffet Records, which is a local label. And so he toured Western Canada, or maybe all of Canada, I'm not sure, with JFK and the Conspirators as a backing band.
Oh, cool.
So he played here a bunch of times, and it was weird because he's like this guy from New York who, he produced tons of stuff from that kind of era and that style. And, I have a bunch of his records from his solo stuff, his band and everything. And then, yeah, he's playing shows with JFK on drums and stuff.
Wow.
And then it's, the record came on the local label. So it's pretty cool. This song actually, I first heard it on a compilation that came out on Moon Records. And I guess this was, like, right before the whole third wave ska thing just went completely to shit. And, like, it was, everything was building and building and building, and it was becoming more and more popular. And, like, the Boston's had that hit single, and, everything was getting huge. And then this compilation came out, and it was, I remember when I got it thinking, okay, there's some great songs on here, but there's so many ska bands. And, there was way too many bands on there. A lot of them were bad, and it was starting to, you see a lot of this, like, there'd just be every... I mean, I was in a ska band, and everyone was, it was just so many of them, and that's what eventually...
Jesse Matus was in a ska band.
Jesse Matus, yeah, in the Pookies, yeah. Played a lot of ska songs in there, yeah, for sure. And I mean, there was like a point where it just kind of, everything fell apart because there was so many bands, and most of the people in those bands weren't actually into that kind of music, they were just doing it because it was the, the same thing happened with the swing revival, all this stuff happened. So this was kind of, this compilation that this song was on, for whatever reason, I always associated that in my head with like the very, very... peak right before everything went down because mm-hmm. it was this big comp that came out on the big label that had been around since the 80s in New York, and it just crumbled like shortly after this because of that exact reason. They were signing too many bands
wow.
and they couldn't sustain it and everything. But this band, like King Django, he's still around. He still like produces a lot of stuff. He still sings. He still has his own albums, and he's kind of like a very notable character. But yeah, he was on that label right before everything went to shit. So the song is called Next Finger. I don't really know exactly what the song is about, but it involves chopping off fingers at one point. And there's like a really creepy kids kind of choir voices at the end of it. So I always liked it. It's kind of dark and it fits the finger theme because of the fingers being chopped off.
Awesome.
Yeah, Skinner Box, Next Finger.
Very nice. thank you for the introduction.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, the creepy, I don't know, I'm not sure what the story is with the kids at the end, but it definitely adds to the creepiness.
And just dropping the fingers in
fits
general.
With the wing.
Yeah, and like the knife noises at the beginning. And stuff.
Yeah, it's sharpening the knife.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a weird, super weird Winnipeg connection of that guy that like he put out at least one album. It's called Root Tonic, I think. But yeah, and then he played a bunch of shows. Like I've seen him a bunch of times live, and it seems unlikely that he would ever bother coming here. I have no idea how that happened, but.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there was a pretty serious scene.
It was really good. It was really good, actually. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, Montreal was always kind of like the high watermark for that in Canada because the Kingpins, the Planet Smashers, and all those bands like that. But yeah, Winnipeg, I think, was pretty much like the number two city for that. So,
whatever happened to reggae here? Because you used to be on like the
reggae festival. I was on the organizing committee for the Winnipeg Ska and Reggae Festival, and it just stopped because. Everyone on the committee, we were all volunteers, and we all had kids around the same time.
Oh, okay.
And, like, everybody. It was, like, between, like, the six or seven of us, there was, like, more than that many kids. It happened within a few years, so it just, like, no one had time.
Just fizzled
out. No one had time to do it. And then there's still the Soka Reggae Festival, which happens at Old Market Square every year. Right. And that's, we don't really do that, but like,
okay, so there's something.
This does have something going on, yeah. But
yeah, and speaking of festivals, you guys played a lot of festivals over the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, I was telling Derek before we started, I was like flipping through Exclaim or something. Royal Canoe is popping
yeah,
up
every
on,
time,
like,
yeah,
every time,
yeah,
yeah,
everyone. So that must have been. I mean, that seems like a pretty great thing just to be able to check out other bands and be at festivals.
Totally, and
really
meet.
Fun way to spend the summer.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Any highlights from that, or even like bands that you?
I don't know. There were so many. It was fantastic. I think one of my biggest highlights, and I think, you know, for a number of us, this was a very exciting evening, a very exciting event. We got to finally see Rubble Bucket play, with whom we're going to be touring this fall.
Oh, okay.
We're opening a bunch of shows for them in the States. They're just releasing a new record. They're label mates of ours on our American label. And we've kind of had a little correspondence with them over the last year or so. But we've never had a chance to see them live. Mm-hmm. And we saw them at Hillside for the first time. And we were all, you know, really, really, really excited and inspired and impressed by the show, and everything they're doing is fantastic. There's so much joy and sincerity and passion in their performance, and you know, very creative writing and very sincere music.
Cool. Well, that and that helps about to head out on tour, you know, to be excited
yeah.
about
mm-hmm. yeah,
not just
excited
playing,
playing,
but the whole
you.
Show and
yeah, yeah.
And, on these.
And every night we play with them to know the kind of show they put on
yeah.
is going to have us, you know, on our toes. It's
right,
you know,
right.
we're going to want to make
mm-hmm.
sure. I mean, we always do want to put on the best show we can, but even more so with a band like that coming after us. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So
light a fire under our asses.
When you play the big festivals, I mean, I know you play some smaller festivals too, obviously, but like, I just imagine that it's just insane because, I mean, even going to a festival, I mean, it's the amount of bands playing and stuff. Like, do you, when you go to these, do you have kind of a hit list of bands you want to see, or is that even
yeah usually
something you're able to do?
You can try sometimes, like a lot of these festivals, they'll have, like, you know, there might be four bands that you want to see that are all playing at the exact same time.
Right,
band.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, different stages.
So yeah, you kind of got to pick and choose, and then based on our schedule as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, going into it usually in advance, everyone's kind of like plotting out, like making a little little list of what they want to try to do. And then usually you don't end up getting to do a lot of it.
Right,
but
do you get an opportunity to, like, hang out with other bands, or is it all just
mm-hmm.
too rapid?
Yeah, often we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
And some of the festivals are, like, they're not all the same format. Like, some of them, some of them are, like, you know, a three-day festival. It's all one weekend, you know. It's
right.
in one location. People are camping. Or, you know, whatever. But some of them are, like, 10-day long festivals where, you know, you play and at various venues and parks throughout a city. So for those ones, usually we're there for, like, the one day that we play.
Yeah,
right.
Most of the bands will only
and you don't really get to see any of the other bands. You see who you're playing with.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And then you're gone the next day. But it's all still really fun. And we got to play with some pretty great bands
mm-hmm.
during even those, like, days that we were just there for a day.
Cool. Yeah, that's exciting.
What kind of reaction do you guys get? I mean, obviously it's going to depend on the festival and the city and stuff, but I mean, being a band from Winnipeg, obviously people here have an idea of what your previous band sounded like. They kind of probably, you know, came along with you guys, you know, in
mm-hmm.
becoming Royal Canoe and all this. But like, if you're playing somewhere in the States you never played before, I mean, what kind of I don't even know if this is an answerable question, but like,
yeah.
what kind of reaction do you tend to get with this type of music you're playing? Like, from a general, I mean, because festivals have a general audience, right? Like, that's what.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how do you go over? I mean, with a crowd full of people with different interests and, you know.
Well, quite often, the stages that we're playing at this stage are the smaller
right.
satellite stages,
right.
kind of on one end of the festival. So we don't tend to have a captive audience. We'll have people who have heard about us or who have seen us,
right.
Or, you know, there have been a few festivals where I've been, like, really taken aback by people who come up after a show who are so, or even before a show
yeah.
who are so excited. They're like, yeah, I've never seen you guys play before, but I saw your name on the list and I was just checking out the bands that, you know, the bands that we're playing here
yeah.
and And I really, really liked you guys' music, so I'm you know, excited about the show. And I was, like, every time I hear that, I'm so impressed. Like, I remember somebody at Bonnaroo telling me that. Like, so you...
Out of all the bands playing,
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, it's a huge honor. But second of all, like, you, like the people actually have the time and the will to, like, sit and sift through every band on a, I mean, on a festival like that. There are thousands of bands that are playing, so,
And some of them are like, you know, there's just such big names on that too that you'd almost be like, okay, well, forget these guys.
Exactly.
That's cool.
But yeah, for anyone who's seen you live, I mean, the production, like the sound you guys create live is very impressive. Like, you, I mean, it must have helped having six people on stage, but like, it seems as though you're more or less reproducing what it's what something might sound like recorded.
We try our best, definitely. Yeah, we don't allow ourselves to take shortcuts or, you know, take any breathers during songs, really. There's enough in the recordings that, you know, pretty much at every point throughout the set, everybody is doing something with both hands.
There are like occasional times where certain things just can't be like certain things on the record just get left out in the live thing, in the live performance, because we just physically can't do it, and we don't use like backing tracks or anything, so sometimes things get sacrificed.
But usually in those moments, there's enough going on. It's not like people are like, it's kind of empty in that one part.
But I think anybody who has seen you live wants to probably see you again. So you've got, because you've got a really good thing going.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Thank you. that's kind of what we're banking on this fall tour. After all the festival shows and stuff, going out doing a headlining show or headlining tour for Canada, hoping that all those people who had who were introduced to it at the festivals and stuff were we'll want to come out again.
Cool. Okay, I'm gonna throw a song here.
I made
a bit of a list because I was at my cabin on the weekend. So
normally you pick something on
10
the
minutes
spot
before the show, as the people are showing up. Okay. I'm like, oh shit, what am I gonna do? And I made a list of stuff, and I'm gonna play something a little. Well, it's a bit more chilled out than what I would normally play. I'm gonna play a song by Bibio.
Oh, nice.
I didn't know how true that is. Apparently, I'm the only one.
Only album that I have is Ambivalence Avenue. And
we listen to that a lot in the van.
It seems like I haven't heard this in a while. There's a lot that's come up on the show before. There's a lot of things on this iPod that I've either forgotten about or I'm actually completely unfamiliar with.
Yeah, you have a lot of stuff that you just turns up, oh yeah, I have this, what is it?
People put music on here or something, but so this is something I haven't listened to in quite some time, and then I started listening to part of the album before you guys got here, and I can see like a connection in some of the sounds with your band. And
okay, well, fill me in. What is this?
Well, it's a guy, I forget his name, and this is like the fourth album, but so there are a number after this. Which I haven't heard yet.
I've heard little snippets of a few things, but I haven't spent much time with any of it other than this one record.
Yeah, so there's a fair bit of like electronic stuff going on, but there's kind of some folk stuff going on as well. Like the song I'm going to play is quite chilled out. It's actually just a lovely little song that I listened to today.
Cool.
Thought I'd share it with the listeners. This is The Palm of Your Wave. Alright, The Palm of Your Wave by Bibio.
That was very chilled out,
Yeah.
Very nice, too.
And I started listening to this again, but I need to give this album a listen and probably check out some more. I don't know how familiar you guys are with other Bibio.
Matt Schellenberg in our band is a huge Bibio fan and has done more research and, you know, keeps up with him in his, like, I think he put out an album in the last year or something.
Yeah, he had a couple. He had them coming out like almost one a year for a little while. It seemed.
Cool.
I was just reading about him today, and yeah, I think he taught or did like some did a thing teaching music at a university for a short time. So has a pretty solid background in the sound of things.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Witch Police Radio. We're joined by Derek and Brendan. Just joking. From Royal Canoe. Joking because I guess listeners wouldn't know, but Sam and I saw these guys play first starting out with our friend Jesse. So I think we're going to try to get into a couple other songs.
I wanted to talk to you guys about though is like that I know I mentioned it to Derek before we started recording, but that video that you put out recently, like, I love it. It's anything that is kind of nostalgic for Winnipeg, I'm always really into, and I feel like there's kind of that's like a thing now. I feel like people in kind of our age group and a little bit older too are just producing things that are very like pro Winnipeg, whereas a lot of people, you know, in the past were kind of, and people still are now for sure, kind of like they like to kind of take shots at the city, right? But I mean, that video is very kind of celebrates a lot of the cool things about Winnipeg. I found anyway. So like, what was the what's the story behind the video?
Well, the it's for a song called Exodus of the Year, which was that the first song written by Royal Canoe as iteration, and it's about the like, you know, the exodus of a number of Matt Peters' friends at one time, and it's something that I think we all experience
definitely. Yeah, for sure.
You know, you. More often than not, it's, you know, artistically minded people who are leaving for, you know, for the bigger scenes or bigger, you know, bigger film industry or bigger music industry in cities like Toronto, Montreal.
The idea Vancouver. Of more opportunity being out there.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, Winnipeg is such a strong artistic community that, you know, that sort of thing, it really, you know, it kind of harms... It harms some of the potential that we have, but still, I don't know. Everything is so great and so strong here that, you know, we, I think, together as a band and individually and separately in our other projects, we've all sort of had to answer that question, or at least, you know, ponder, you know, would it be better for us? Would it be beneficial to be in another city?
Yeah. Well, I guess you guys have toured in those cities as well, right?
So we've built communities, you know, communities of friends and you know, sort of colleagues and that sort of thing in these other places. And I don't know, I think the video sort of celebrates a lot of the reasons why, you know, why we can't, why we don't want to leave.
Yeah.
And it included in that group of people that left was actually the director of the video, Matthew Rankin. Was a good friend of Matt's and from Winnipeg and relocated to Montreal and then came back to Winnipeg to film the video.
Cool.
And yeah, it was just like a collection of all these like scenes and you know, iconic places or what we considered to be iconic. And
the parts that aren't normally on the like Winnipeg tourism brochures.
Yeah.
I can imagine
the actual things that we are attached to.
Like, why are you showing me this little bowling alley?
Yeah. But that's the best.
Because
stuff,
it's
right?
weird and awesome. Yeah. And these are the things that make it the city it is.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Well, when I saw that, I just remember thinking like, it's cool to see a local band actually celebrating that. A lot of them do, but a lot of them also, you know, even if they don't move to Toronto or whatever, they kind of have that mindset that while they're here, it seems. And it's definitely cool to see, like, you know, Winnipeg being celebrated that way. Because I think a lot of people outside of Winnipeg, I'm sure a lot of people outside of Winnipeg have a very specific idea of what this is. And it's unfortunate that that's what their idea of it is, because Winnipeg has so much going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've encountered a strange thing in the music industry where... There are a lot of people, especially in the like the business part of the music industry. Yeah. A lot of people seem to be, they try to be, you know, very, almost apologetic, or just like completely, they just try to avoid the fact that these bands are Canadian.
Oh yeah.
Just to try to, you know, the idea is that they have less of a chance of being as big elsewhere, if they're defined or if they're so, you know, so easily identified as Canadian for some reason. You know, the name Royal Canoe has encountered some, you know, there were some people who kind of, you know, had to take, they kind of took missteps because they're like, oh, it sounds so Canadian. I don't know. I don't know if I like it. Yeah. Like, well,
both halves of that name sound very Canadian.
And so, there's this tendency to kind of gloss over that and just try to be something else. And so, I don't know, I don't see any reason not to celebrate, you know, these places, these things that make us who we are and make our music what it is.
Yeah. Do you find that, I mean, I know we talked earlier about the songwriting process and you're all kind of, you all have hands in it, fingers in the pies or whatever. that was a horrible joke. But, like, do you find that in a lot of your songs, like local, one of the things that I've talked about on the show before too, I really like listening to music, even if it's not from a city that I'm familiar with, when people are putting a lot of local, whether it's a blatant local reference or there's just like a flavor to it that is comes out naturally because of where people are from. They write about what they know, right? Do you have a lot of kind of local stuff that is reflected in what you do? I mean, obviously the band name, and I mean, I think, you know, from what I've heard of your stuff, certain aspects of the sound, for some reason, twig Winnipeg in my head for me, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, is that an intentional thing? Do you try to do that?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, it's just natural. Yeah. Definitely, there, you know, that first record, Today We're Believers, a lot of the inspiration from those songs came from, you know, just that swing that we feel every year. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coming out of that cold, hard winter, like, yep. You know, screw this place, I can't do this again. And then all of a sudden, like, the flowers are blooming and it's green and yep. There are leaves and birds and it's beautiful and life yep. is the greatest thing yep. and Winnipeg is the greatest place. And a lot of the songs have that as the kind of driving spirit.
Seasonal inspiration for the songs.
Yeah.
And one of the songs is a story about, or at least in part a story about skinny dipping in out at, like, Winnipeg Beach, Gimli area. So, cool. Yeah.
Well, part of the reason I asked about it is because, like, one of the coolest things that I've seen in a while is, like, I'm a really big Propaganda fan, right? I mean, obviously, local band, huge local band, awesome. And, like, I watched a video of them playing, like, it was just on YouTube, a whole set in Australia. And they go into the song Dear Coach's Corner, right? Which is, like, extremely, extremely Canadian. Every reference, I mean, you know, it's a boat. It was not a boat Coach's Corner, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the crowd is singing along with every word. And it's so cool because how many Australians have any clue who Don Cherry even is?
Yeah.
And, like, the cities he's naming, the rinks and stuff, like, it's just... And I think that's the coolest thing ever because it's like me listening to Wu-Tang. That's I love listening to Wu-Tang. Of, yeah. And the slang is so dense. The references are so dense. There's multiple layers to everything. And, like, it... I love it. I love the fact that someone from Winnipeg is saying this mm-hmm. about hockey, about hockey in Canada, about CBC, about and then obviously the political stuff that goes along with it in their message. But, like, yeah, and everyone's saying, like, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But it's great. Like, it's cool.
One of my favorite things about that band is that I feel like every one of those concert attendees, those Australian Propaganda fans, even if they had no idea what those things were when they heard the song first, they probably all looked it up.
Some because, of them, for sure.
You know, I think they have such a conscientious
fan base, so following, for sure.
And, you know, their music, their message is so fantastic. It's funny you should mention them because that's the next song we were going to throw to you.
Good way to maybe
let's go back to 1993.
Yeah,
How to Clean
Actually,
Everything.
Yeah, one of the first CDs that I think both Derek and I added to our collections. Yeah.
It's funny because that
Survival,
like,
of the Fattest and How to Clean Everything. Survival of the Fattest
was like
that was
the compilation for everything. I think that
was the start of a
most people I know
era.
Who listen to music now started, like, really, really got into music because of that. That killed everything else. I was listening to Bryan Adams and shit before. No, I mean, like, you know, but, like, yeah, it just that thing was huge.
Oh yeah.
But what I was gonna say about that album, How to Clean Everything, is, like, it got reissued. I don't know if you guys have heard it, like, the 20th anniversary. I got the 20th anniversary LP, and it's got some demos and some unreleased stuff on it.
Oh, cool.
And, like, it's still really good. But then you listen to that, then you listen to the stuff they did now, and it's unbelievable how much those guys have improved. Like, every aspect of, like, the playing, the songwriting, it's, like, I have a hard time finding a better band that has been around for that period of time than mm-hmm. them. Like, it's unreal. It's not just because they're local. It's not just because I have nostalgia about them. Like, they are just... phenomenal.
Amazing musicians.
Yeah. Crazy.
They're definitely the only band that has stuck with me since that record.
Yeah, for sure.
They actually have a rehearsal space right across the hall from us.
That's awesome.
So we get to hear them jam every once in a while.
I would just stop playing and hang out.
What's really, for Derek and I, it's really great because we've been fans of this for ages.
And when we were teenagers, like, punk rock, there was nothing else.
For sure, I think all of us probably that goes for, I think. Yeah.
Cool, so based on the finger theme, what are we going to listen to?
Middle Finger Salute.
Awesome. Ball cherries in Wisconsin Creek. A silhouette light bulb doesn't seek. Numbing a bar glam. Yeah, Propaganda was awesome. That's an awesome band. I think I say every time they come up, which is a lot. They've been played a lot on the show. I think it's, you know,
with good reason.
Yeah, they're just phenomenal. Yeah, really, really good. So, but yeah, that was definitely, like, a formative record for, I think, our whole kind of everyone I know pretty much.
Yeah,
like, yeah. It's cool. So cool that was a local band too.
Yeah.
It was too bad that, like, there isn't more sort of punk or whatever that's like that now. At least,
like, how they are now, or like that
no other, like, other bands or scenes like that. It doesn't seem to be the same.
Well, I think a lot of those bands, well, a lot of the Fat Records bands, like, some of them are still around. I think, like, Lagwagon is coming here or something.
Lagwagon, I heard they're coming here.
Oh, with the Swingin' Utters.
Swingin' Utters.
Oh, really?
That's right, yeah, that's right.
That's great.
So I think a lot of them are still around, but I can't imagine, I haven't heard it, maybe I'm wrong, but I can't imagine a Lagwagon album in 2014 being anywhere near as good as Failed States was. Like, I just don't think that, like,
right.
Because I think Lagwagon stuck with that kind of skate punky thing the whole way through. I don't think they ever evolved.
A lot of those bands seem to have.
Yeah. I mean, it works, right? I mean, like, there's definitely an audience for it. I'm sure there's tons of Propaganda fans who only want to hear the stuff from this first record,
because
they're really into that Fat thing still.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
I don't know. It's cool that they have actually progressed so much. Like, it's just, I don't know. Mm-hmm, I can't say enough good things about the last two records, especially. Like, I mean, the other ones before it, too, are great, but, yeah. Yeah, really cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed them as well.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's cooling off. The heater's kicked in.
Yeah.
And we're wrapping up another episode. So, yeah, thanks so much for
our
coming,
pleasure.
Guys.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
If people want to check out your band, you guys, we mentioned the one video, but you guys have some really cool-looking videos. Should people just search for you on...
Yeah,
YouTube, or just go to, I guess, off your website.
We've got videos on YouTube, our website, royalcanoe.com. We've got stuff on Bandcamp as well.
Yeah.
Cool.
And we'll link to all that stuff on our page, too,
cool.
So people can check it out.
Awesome.
And do that. And you guys are about to go on tour. Where are you headed? Which
September 30th, we start heading west to Western Canada, and then down the west coast.
And east. And
mid-October, we're up through Ontario and Quebec, and then finish off.
Eastern U.S. and Midwest.
Cool. I guess your album is pretty much available wherever albums are available at this point. Like,
we've just replenished the stock at Music Trader.
Oh, nice. So. Okay. Yeah.
I think
that's the spot. I think that most people should probably be going to get records. So for sure. Awesome. Okay. Well, if you want to hear people want to hear more episodes of our show, they can go to witchpolice.com. There's a thing that says podcast. You click on that. All the past 90 whatever episodes are there for free download and streaming. And you can also hear us on the actual radio.
We're on Monday nights on 101.5 UMFM at 11 p.m.
Yeah, and you can also go to the Witch Police page, find links to our Facebook page, our Twitter, all those social media things. You can hear us on Stitcher, online radio as well, if you listen to podcasts on your phone or your other mobile thingies.
Other things you carry around. Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
I also wanted to mention the Garbage Hill Network. Some friends of ours who we've had on the show, actually, who do the Couch Surfing podcast, they kind of wanted to kick off a way for local podcasts, not just about music, but about other things too, to kind of cross-promote and kind of get the word out there so we can introduce new listeners. So we're part of this thing that just started up called the Garbage Hill Network, and basically it's kind of like they want to eventually build like a one-stop shop for people to find, you know, independent DIY radio from Winnipeg. So like we're on there, they're on there. There's some kind of wrestling show that's involved.
Nice.
There's a show called Warped and Creased, which I just listened to it the first time today. It's two guys talking about collecting vinyl, and they're super nerdy about it. It's kind of like...
should probably be on that show.
I should be on the show. It's kind of like the parts on our show where I start going on rants about the kids these days and stuff, but like a full-length version of that. So that's cool. And I think they're going to add a few more, too. So it's like... I think it'll eventually be a cool way to just hear what people are doing.
Awesome.
On radio. So
nice. All right. Well, and our theme has been Finger.
Yep.
And you guys are going to... take us out on what?
This last one, we're going to take you out on the opening track from D'Angelo's iconic album Voodoo.
Oh,
and
really?
The track's called Playa Playa, and it's an amazing song, and it fits into the finger category because there's some pretty amazing snaps in it.
Really groovy finger snaps at the start. It's also a favorite record of ours. On the road,
in
one
the
of
the,
like a huge musical inspiration for
it's
us,
a good record.
Like deep, groovy,
grimy.
Yeah. Isn't that like the only thing he really did too? Like the only thing of note that he did?
I mean, he hasn't really
been working on a record
since
then. A follow up for the last
I think he had
decade.
Like, some bizarre drug problems or something.
Had some run ins with the law. But I think this record took about 4 years to create as well.
It did,
he spent
as
much time just like listening to other records and watching performances and playing music together in the studio and
getting the perfect finger snap.
Yeah, and it's perfect.
Awesome. Yes. All right, well, thanks a lot for coming, guys.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Us.